John chapter 14, and just one verse this morning, verse 12, which says, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly," or "pay attention, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." Now let's remember who's talking here. Jesus is the one who's talking. He cannot lie, and yet he has said here that we will do works like he does. "The works that I do, shall he do also," Jesus says, "and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Would you look this way, please? That's a powerful statement made right there by our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would do equal and greater works than him. I read this verse, and you know what it looks like to me? It looks like Mission Impossible. That's what it looks like. Oh. Look at... Oh. Mission Impossible, that's right. That Jesus would say that we would do equal works to him sounds impossible enough. But then he says that we would do greater works than he would do? Excuse me, what Bible are we reading out of today? How did the TV show start off? "Good morning, Mr. Phelps. Your mission, should you choose to accept it?" Well, the truth is, we have a mission to do, and Jesus said that we can do it only because he's taken the impossible and he has made it possible. So let's study together John 14 and verse 12 today and learn some truths about how we can do Mission Possible. Are you ready for this? Man, you look psyched now. Here we go. Again, verily, verily, he says, pay attention. And he says, Jesus says this before he returned to heaven. He charged us to do something which seems impossible, which is to take over for him and do his mission here on the earth in his absence. And he says, verily, verily, and then he says, I say. You know what that means right there, I say? This means that he's putting all his authority behind this statement. Look again at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say. He's putting his authority behind it. You know how you tell your teenager that they can't do something, and they say, who says? And you say, I said. Jesus is saying, now this is going to be an unbelievable statement, so right here at the beginning, I'm telling you, I'm saying this, and I can't lie. So take this to the bank. He that believeth, that's us, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's amazing enough, isn't it? And greater works than these shall he do. In other words, not only equal his works, but exceed them. It does sound like Mission Impossible, doesn't it? And yet our God has said it. So, question. How can we bring ourselves into obedience to this verse? How can we make this verse a reality without explaining it away somehow? How can this be the truth without us watering it down today or twisting its meaning? Let me tell you how we can fulfill that verse, and I'll do that by telling you four things that we need. Four things that we need, and we have them all at our disposal, okay? Write these down on the back of your bulletin, please. We need these four things. Number one, we need to get a vision, first of all, for an expanded program. Now, our missions conference starts 1 week from last night with the international dinner that will be here this Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And missions conference right here, combined Sunday school, Sunday morning at 9:30 in this room, a meet and greet with our missionary families that will be with us. And then this hour next week and Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, following meals, we will have our services with these good missionaries. We need a vision for an expanded program, or we won't be able to take on new missionaries, such as two of the families that are coming to be with us for next week. One of them we already support, because we have been expanding our program over the years. Number one, we need a vision for an ever-expanding program. Now, what did Jesus mean by greater works? He said we would do greater works. I mean, this is Jesus who fed the 5,000 with a lad's lunch. This is Jesus who walked on the water. How are we going to do greater works than Jesus who walked on the water? I don't know if you heard about the day that the Methodist, Presbyterian, and Baptist all went fishing. They went together fishing, and they got out there on the water, and the Methodist said, "Oh, I forgot my worms." And he jumped out of the boat and trotted across the water over to the shore and picked up his worms and trotted right back into the boat. The Baptist said, "Wow, what faith." Presbyterian said, "Oh, you know what? You just reminded me, I forgot my lunch." And he hopped out, ran across the water, got his lunch, came back into the boat. The Baptist says, "This is incredible. I mean, I'm in the presence of greatness, but what about me? I know I'm a person of faith. I've got faith too." So he just made something up. He said, "Hey guys, I need the restroom." Jumped out of the boat, sunk right to the bottom. Methodist looked at the Presbyterian and said, "Reckon we ought to show them where the rocks are?" Seriously, will we walk on the water? No. Will we raise the dead? I mean, how do you top that? Listen, Jesus did not say that we would work greater miracles than he worked. He said that we would do greater works. Not greater miracles, greater works. Are you with me this morning? What are the greater works? Flip back a couple of chapters, John 5. Go back to John 5. You're in John 14. Go back to John chapter 5. And I want to show you a couple of verses here that will be interesting to you. We're trying to get prepped and ready, get our hearts totally in the right place for Missions Conference next week. John 5, look at verse number 20. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." What is verse 25 talking about? Somebody who's dead, living? It's not talking physically here. It's talking spiritually. Greater than raising someone from the dead physically is to raise them spiritually. Think about it. Even those that Jesus raised from the dead eventually died. It was a temporary healing, right? Eventually they died. But somebody that gets saved, that's permanent. Can I have an amen this morning? That's permanent. A spiritual healing is much better. Greater than physical life is eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, the greater work is salvation. And Jesus said we would do it. We would have the privilege of helping to see people get saved. Not that we can save them, but we can tell them how that they can be. Seeing people pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Now, you're in John 5. Look at John 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34 says this, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." What's the work that he's supposed to do? He's not talking about miracles to be done. He's talking about work to be done. And Jesus' primary work was not walking on water or healing people physically or even raising someone from the dead, though he did all those things. What was the primary work of Jesus Christ on the earth? It was to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10 is the verse that tells us that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The work of Jesus was to see sinners saved, and then he says that we will do that too. Okay, so we've explained so far how we can do equal works to him. We can see people saved just like he saw people saved. But how can we do a greater work than that? He said, greater works than these can you do. What's greater than seeing a soul get saved? I'll tell you what, seeing two souls get saved. Or three, or four. I don't believe it's talking about quality. I believe it's talking about quantity. The quantity, think about it. More were converted in one day at Pentecost than during the entire earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Already, man was seeing greater works happen in the Lord Jesus' absence than Jesus saw in all of his earthly ministry. Now, we just read John 4:34. Look at the very next verse. I shouldn't have turned. John 4, look at the very next verse now, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. White unto harvest. What's he talking about here? A physical harvest of wheat? No. He's talking about a spiritual harvest of souls, isn't he? We need to pray for another great awakening in America and around the world where we are sending missionaries out to. We can do a greater work than he did, write it down, because we are building upon what he started. That's what we're doing. We're building on the work that he started. And after you fill in those words, building upon, check out the screen, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The very first verse of the book of Acts says, the former treatise have I made. The former treatise, that's a book. A treatise is a book. Okay? Now, Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And he's talking about a former book that he wrote. Somebody, can you think, if you really think hard, what other book might Luke have written besides Acts? That's right. The Gospel of Luke. Ding, 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 we have a winner. Okay, look at the verse again. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Now, is not that not Theophilus' name? You have a hoid? Theophilus. He's talking to Theophilus. He says, of what? Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. See, he began a work, and he will be faithful to complete it, but he wants to complete it through us. What he began to do, he wants to complete now through us. He began it in his earthly body. He will continue it through his spiritual body, which is called the church. And we're looking at it right here today. So, continuing on in John 4, the very next verse, verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He talks about reaping wages there, that is rewards. Verse 37. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. 38. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, ye are entered into their labors. You see, Jesus has already done the sowing. We don't necessarily have to be sowers so much as reapers. And really, with the exception of America, I can say that this is still true today. For most of our missionaries on the fields where they go to, the harvest is white and the harvest people are ripe for the picking. It's like cherry picking to go out into a world. And those of you who've taken missions trips to other countries know that it's just so refreshing to see people that are thirsty for the Lord and just help me get saved. Tell me how to be saved. Give me a Bible of my own. America's been spoiled and we need a great awakening here. Most of the world, it's like cherry picking. Okay? And there's many who there are lost and yet they want to be found. And we have the answers. And so Mission Impossible becomes Mission Possible at this point. Now, if you read all of John chapter 4, if we took time to read it all, you'll see that at the beginning it's about the woman at the well. Jesus led her to the knowledge of salvation. And after she got saved, look what he said in verse 27. John 4, 27, after she got saved. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. They marveled that he was even talking to her. And Jesus says, hey, you want to marvel at how this is an awesome thing that she was saved? That's nothing compared to what's coming your way. You think that's awesome? You're going to reap in fields that have already been cultivated, and you're going to do greater works than I have done. You will have the privilege of harvesting multiplied millions of souls. And that's what's been happening ever since through the church. Folks, this morning the fields are white unto harvest. They are ready. And the darker that our world gets here in America, the brighter our light can shine here at home. So whether it's across the street or around the world, we need to be accomplishing Mission Possible. And it's not even Mission Probable. It's just possible. It's possible if we will get on board and do our part. To do the greater work that Jesus spoke of, we need an expanded program, a vision for an expanded program of our vision, of our community and around the world. We need to get a worldwide vision, too, of how to get the gospel to others in other lands. We're privileged to be doing that through our website right now to some extent, through these good missionaries. We've got missionaries lined up who are needing help. And you know, it's hard for them to get there, especially in this economy right now. And many of them that have already been there are now having churches drop their support, and they're stranded on a foreign field and are coming back in desperate need for more help. You say, well, the economy's tough for us too. It's tough on everybody. That's true. And where's a good investment to make? It's hard to find a good investment to make other than this one that's promised, that it will not come back void. Here's a good eternal investment, is missions. Get a heart for missions. John 14:12 will not be accomplished by merely focusing on our own community. It's impossible to reach the world unless we have a plan of how to reach out to some other lands that don't have the gospel. Remember Acts 1:8 says, "Ye shall receive power." Here it is on the screen. "After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me, both in Decatur and in Illinois and in America, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." It might as well put it that way. That's how it applies to you and to me. So we need an expanded program, number one. Number two, ready? We have to pay that expected price. In order to have the expanded program that God's commanded us to have, and to reach out into other lands, we're going to have to pay some price. It's going to take some sacrifice, such as being willing to leave America and go there. That would be a sacrifice, wouldn't it? However, there is another alternative. If you can't go, you can help send. You can pay an expected price and help send. We can pray, we can give. We can go if God is calling you to go. We have to pay the expected price. Remember that famous passage of Scripture, Romans 10, beginning in verse 13. We love the verse, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's Romans 10:13. But then it continues and says, "But how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then it says in verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" That's our job, is to send them. That's what we'll be talking about all next week as a church. There's only one way to see the gospel taken to other lands. We have to send missionaries. And what does it take to send them? That five-letter word, money. That's what it takes. Now, it's God's plan for God's people and His church to do the sending. The early church would send out missionaries, and the church today is supposed to be sending out missionaries. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we're trying to expand. And it's going to take an expected price. That's why we have a program called Faith Promise Missions. Now, how many of you know all about Faith Promise already? You know what Faith Promise Missions is. Would you raise your hand? That's great. If you couldn't raise your hand to that today, then on your way out, please stop by either the mission table or the welcome table and get that sheet of paper that's all about questions, a Q&A about Faith Promise Missions. It tells you all about it. And take that one sheet of paper home with you and read about it and pray about getting involved in Faith Promise Missions. Everyone here today should have, every family today should have one of our cards for us to consider turning in next week. As a matter of fact, pull it out wherever it's at. Show it to me. Wave it around if you've got one of these. I'm colorblind. Are they blue? Blue cards? You could lie to me and get away with it, but they are blue. Okay. Take a look at that card for just a moment. Next week we will mark our card. Notice that there is nowhere on the card for your name. It's between you and God. However, the card is vitally important to be turned in for us to be able to budget for the next year and know how much to expect to be coming in to Faith Promise Missions. And so pray about pledging. Our theme is to reach in, that's your pocket, to reach out. We want to give, we want to increase our giving to $30,000 for the year 2010-2011, for the next 12 months, and that is an increase from $25,000. Right now, this church is giving about $2,000 a month to missions, and we need to increase that in order to reach that $30,000. We'll have to increase that a good bit. And so next week, we'll mark our card, however God leads us. We will turn it in. We'll hand it to one of the missionaries that will be here with us. We'll add all that up, and we will have our new budget for the next year. And in Faith Promise Missions, you're simply saying, God, I'm going to trust you to give this through me. over and above the tithe, and that this is just to promote worldwide missions, to send missionaries out. It's going to take an expanded program, and we'll have to pay an expected price. Number three, here's where it really gets good. If we do this, there's an explicit promise. There is an explicit promise that goes with this now. Notice back in our text, you'll have to turn back to John 14. After you're done writing, please turn back to John 14. You've got to see the rest of this passage now for us to round out this message. John 14, again, verse 12 said that we would do greater works than these, Jesus said. And right after that, how does it continue? Verse 13, he promises to do it through us. With faith-promised missions, here's the beauty of it. God promises to do it through you. If you will just allow yourself to be a vessel, he promises to give it through you if you will be that vessel. If you will be a channel, he will run money through it, through faith promise. You're just saying, Lord, I pledge to give this if you give it to me. And you have an out. If he doesn't give it to you, you don't have to give it to the church. But that's never been a problem because it's God who promises to do it. It's just what will you believe for him to give through you. That's why some people give some unbelievable amounts to missions. I grew up with parents who have for years and years given three digits a week to missions and ever increasing it as a great example to me. And God does it through them. It's not even on their budget. It doesn't even fit into their budget. Never has. Doesn't fit into my budget. Never has. Not for years, for me at least. It's amazing what God will do if you will just say, Lord, from now on, the buck doesn't stop here. I want you to flow it through me. I want to be a channel, not the clog. I want to be a river, Lord, not a reservoir, just adding it all up for myself. If you will give it to me, you can give it through me. That's faith promise missions. Okay? There's an explicit promise here in verses 13 and 14. He promises to do it through us. Look at verse 13. John 14, verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. In other words, this is a prayer you can pray. If it's God's will, we know it's God's will, you can pray for God's will, and he promises to fulfill it, that the Father may be glorified. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, that's according to his will, I will do it. Isn't that exciting? This is good news here. He promises to make it happen. Why wouldn't we take this amazing promise and take it all the way to the bank? We need to run, take this ball and run with it, is what I'm saying. There's an explicit promise. Number four, it's all for an exalted purpose. Look again at verse 13. What's the end of verse 13? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Time out. We're not going to write anything right now. Nothing tricky on the screen right now. Not much entertainment, but something very important. If you would look this way, please. This is what we are all about. This is what our Faith Promise Missions program is all about. Is about bringing glory to God. It's not about fundraising so much as bringing glory to God, that the Father may be glorified. And how do we bring glory to God? I'll tell you the best way. It's by seeing people get saved. Last week, God got glory at the end of our morning service when one young woman raised her hand saying, yes, I just prayed that prayer. I just got saved. God gets great glory from that. Amen? That's what it's all about. Keeping people out of hell. It brings glory to God. Seeing people saved. And our missionaries see more people get saved than we see get saved. Great glory comes through our missions program. There is a life worth living. There is a purpose worth committing yourself to. Something bigger than ourselves. Something bigger than our problems. Hey, God did not leave us here on the earth just to have a job in order to pay bills. That is not our purpose for life. We're here to help keep people out of hell, finish His work here on the earth, do the greater works, and it's for His glory that we do it. Glory to our Father which is in heaven. An exalted purpose. Number five, there's explosive power. Go back up to the end of verse 12. John 14, end of verse 12, he says, greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go to my Father, skip down to verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Jesus limited his presence to the location of his physical earthly body. But when he left us, then he left us with the Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, it's better to have the Holy Spirit than that Jesus remain here. You realize that? Because his power was localized within his earthly body. But when he left the Spirit in the hearts of all believers and roaming throughout the earth. It's better that we have the Holy Spirit than that Jesus remain here. As much as we would love for Jesus to be here, we should be happier that he left the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. Skip over to chapter 16. John 16, look at verse 7. If you turn a page to the right, John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so here is the Spirit of power, the explosive power of point number 5. Now, how can we finish this message with something practical to go on? We've been challenged to consider missions. Let me give you another challenge, the extra mile principle, okay? The Bible teaches the extra mile principle. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 41, it was Jesus who said, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain," that is two, the extra mile. When Jesus said this, Israel was a province of the Roman Empire. And at any given time, a Roman could pass through that province and could force any of these Jews to carry his baggage. According to the law, he could force them to carry it for 1 mile, and then he'd have to find someone else. That was Roman law. Jesus said, hey, when they tell you to carry their bag a mile, carry it too. Don't do it just because you're forced to. Do it because you want to. Do something more than just your duty. Most people in our church feel it is their duty to have some role in missions, but now is the year to give something that you want to give. Not out of duty, not because you have to or because everybody else is doing it, but because I want to. Go the extra mile. God loves that attitude. He loves the extra mile attitude. He loves that attitude in our service, to go the extra mile. He loves that attitude in our giving, to go the extra mile. Now, plenty of people will do just the minimum. Plenty of Christians will do just enough to get by. But we need some people who will take and make missions their main thing, one of the most dominant priorities in their life. Now, we will raise funds either way that it goes. We will raise funds just by getting everyone involved. We've got a goal this year of 100% involvement. And even if it's only a dollar a week that you give to worldwide missions, that will add up and we will raise funds. Okay? But we also need those who have already been involved to step up and go the extra mile. Every year, my parents taught me, increase your faith promise missions. If at all possible, increase it. If times get tough, especially then, important to increase it that year. Stretch and grow in your faith, they taught me. It's the only investment you can make today with guaranteed results. And it's the only investment you can make today with eternal results. I'm praying God also leads some to make missions their main thing. And there are some people who have allowed God to use them to give big amounts to missions, some even triple digits every week. Some, if you add it up over the month, they've given triple digits in every particular month. And those big amounts help us to take on and add many more missionaries as well. You know, if you break it down, it's this simple. It takes $20 a week for us to support one missionary. And so if you give $20 to missions, we can add a missionary. If you add that to what you're giving, or if you get on board at that amount, just $20 a week allows us to say yes to one of these that are willing to go in our stead and do the greater works, see more saved than we'll ever see saved the way that America's going today. And God gets great glory from it. Praise God, we have some who personally not only support one, but two or three or five every week. That's going the extra mile for sure. And believe me, they're not who you think they are. You say, oh yeah, well he's talking about the rich people. No, it's those who say, I'll be the channel. God, give it through me. It's people like me who it doesn't show up in their budget. You wouldn't even believe it, you know? that these people who make this amount give this amount. How could this be? It's glory to God. It's only by Him that it becomes mission possible. Why go the extra mile? Write these down, please. There's a great need. Number one, there's a great need. Think about it. Am I telling you the truth today? I still believe that the lost go to hell for all eternity, and that Jesus is not just a good way to heaven or the best way to heaven, but that He's the only way to heaven. Now, do you believe these things? The world has a deadly virus. We have the cure. And yet untold millions are still untold. And so we need to go the extra mile because there's a great need. Number two, we need to go the extra mile because we possess a great salvation. A great salvation. Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" What a wonderful, great salvation we have. I mean, every other religion in the world is trying to give man a boost from beneath, but we have the answers, Jesus Christ, who offers them a birth from above. Can I have an amen this morning? Other religions are man trying to reach up to God, but Christianity is God reaching down to mankind. Other religions are all about works and do, but my religion says done. Jesus Christ finished it on the cross. Now raise your hand today. Have you ever heard a testimony of someone who got saved and they regretted it? No. Here's what we hear. "I only wish I had got saved sooner, younger." And guess where all of our missions primarily focuses on? Just like those of us who go to Kuna, the children. The children. A generation with hope. Why go the extra mile? There is a great need. We possess a great salvation. Number three, we have the Great Commission. We've been commanded to do this. It's not a great suggestion. It's a commission. We've been left here with this job, the Great Commission. And all four Gospels contain, as Jesus left this world, everything that He had taught came down to this one final point that He wanted us to remember above all else. Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things." Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 24:47. "That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses." John 20:21. "Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you." And then we even find it in Acts 1:8, as we mentioned earlier. We have a great commission. We preach a great salvation. There is a great need, and yet none of those are the main reason to go the extra mile. They are all good reasons to go, great reasons to go the extra mile. But here's the number one reason to get involved in worldwide missions, and as you do it, to go the extra mile. Number four, we serve a great God. We serve a great God. Now listen, if you don't understand that part, then nothing else that we do over the next week in missions conference will make sense. Why do we do these things? But if you get a hold of that, that it's all about our great God, then it will all make sense. I mean, seriously, we need to get this into our souls. It's like a huge, long mathematical equation. Let's imagine that we write across the screen a long mathematical equation. And it looks really complicated. But the first step in the equation is 2 plus 2. And after you get the answer to 2 plus 2, then continue on with the whole complicated mess, okay? Listen, if you miss 2 plus 2, then the rest of the equation you'll get wrong, right? You'll miss it all. If you give to missions because I say that you should, and with my salesman pitch I convince you to do it, you've missed the point. If you give to missions because you like the missionaries that we have this week and decide, I want to help them go to the mission field, then you've missed the point. If you start giving to missions out of guilt because, well, it seems like the thing to do or everybody's doing it, you've missed the point. The best reason that you can get involved in our worldwide Faith Promise Missions program is because God gets great glory from it. It is the greater works of John 14:12. It is the mission possible. Somebody says, but I thought the purpose of missions conference was to raise more money for missionaries. Well, practically, yes, but that's not the ultimate purpose. That's just the means to the end. The goal is to bring glory to God by people getting saved, and thus we are doing the greater works. I'm convinced that some of my fellow pastors out there, I mean, not here in the church, promote missions for a good reason, but not for the best reason. Many of them promote missions in their churches to teach their people to sacrifice, to teach their people to be unselfish, and these are good things. Those are wonderful byproducts that will go along with giving to missions, but it's not the purpose. Don't miss 2 + 2 or nothing else will make sense. We exist to bring glory to God, and nothing brings Him more glory than seeing people saved. And there's nowhere where we can see more saved than in all these countries represented by all these flags. We have at least one missionary in each of these countries, and again, people lined up who've been to recent missions conferences, still waiting on an answer from us. Two more families that will jump in the line this year saying, how can we help them? And it's $20 a week for each one of them. And they can go out and see adults and young people get saved. We have a great commission. We preach a great salvation. We serve a great God, and there is a great need. Now the key for us as a church in reaching our goal and reaching others is going to be total involvement. And again, our theme for this year is reach in, reach out. We can apply that to our prayers for missionaries. I need to reach down deeper and care more for them and learn their names. We're going to give you next week these bookmarks. Some of you have some old ones. We're going to give you an updated bookmark this next week that has the names of all of our missionaries and their fields. Keep that in your Bible and start praying for a missionary every day. Reach in, dig deep, and reach out through your prayers. We're going to do that with our wallets this next week. We're going to reach in. We're going to reach out. That's the idea. And I'm going to give you some practical challenges this week and next. I'm going to challenge you to think about it this way. Think about giving missions at least an equal portion that you'll give the cable company. Okay? I mean, is that the greater works? That thy cable might be on all of thy days? Give missions an equal portion as the cable company or the internet provider. I challenge you at the very least to spend every week on worldwide missions what you spend on your dog. And we will be able to say yes to many more missionaries. Our church's involvement in the greater works will triple if people will take these kind of challenges. Just getting on board, if it's your first year, even if it's just $1 a week, listen, the amount is not as important as the percentage of involvement, and the percentage of involvement we're looking for is 100%. Here's how God will get glory from that $1, because every week you'll have to think about missions as you're writing out your check. Here's my tithe, and on the next line, $1 to missions. I'm thinking about missions this moment. God gets glory from that. Okay? So don't say, yes, I'll do $1 a week and give us a check for $52 next week. No. Don't rob God of the glory of you having to think about it every week. Do the work. Reach in. Dig deep and do the work. Okay? God gets great glory out of it. Say a prayer for Him as you write it. Say a prayer for Him as you mark your Bible where you're reading. You're reading, right? Where you're reading, bookmark, pray for one a day. And if you will be one of the many who pledges $10 a week, that's great. But listen, if you teach your child to give $0.25 a week to missions, as my parents taught me as a kid, then God gets twice the glory. He may not get twice the money. That's not the problem, the money, so much as the glory. Teach your kids to do that. Double the glory right there. And if God leads you to give the extra mile, support a missionary or several yourself, hey, it's going to be awesome. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, it's still a week away when it begins, but we want it to begin right now. We want it to begin in our hearts and in this core group that's gathered here today. Let's start preparing our hearts. Let's prayerfully consider. And let's remember, this is what you're just going to allow God to give through you. If He doesn't give it to you, He doesn't give it through you. You don't have to have it right now. You just have to ask Him what will you believe him for to give? And by the way, when we add up all the cards after next week, we leave a little leeway there. We don't budget 100% of what comes in because sometimes 100% doesn't come in. You're not committed in any way other than to give it if God gives it to you. And we are willing to make that deal because it's God's word. He's the one who promises it. He's the one who will give it through you. And so we've had some stern, hard challenges today from the word of God. And let's start prayerfully considering what God would have us to do. Don't write your name on that card. Just hold it close and pray over it every day. By next week or the end of next week's conference, be ready to write down, check the box, what he wants to give through you, and then we'll give it to one of these missionaries. Let's pray about it right now. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, that's the greater works right there. You can be saved today. Greater than any miracle that Jesus ever did in his physical body, the salvation of a soul. Let us help you with that too. Lord, I just pray for our missions conference right now. We want to begin praying every day and praying for your will. Lord, I personally pray that you'd lead me and my family in what you'd have us to do and our children. Help us to have a heart for missions and give you the glory. Help us to all have our priorities straight. Lord, I do pray that you would challenge us to be a river and not a reservoir. To be a channel through which you will flow blessings and not the clog where the buck stops here. Through Faith Promise Missions, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the greater works happen around the world. Some we will hear about on this side of heaven. And many more we will meet in heaven and realize that they are there because we send a missionary to them. And you get the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand. Let's open up this invitation. If you'd like to come and pray over what God would have you to do or any other prayer need, you come right now. Start praying over this card. Hold it in your hand as you pray and as you kneel. Let's just ask God to lead us what he'd have us to do. All right, thank you. Please be seated for just a moment. It's been 2 years since we've had a missions conference. Usually we do it every year, but we preempted it last year with the stewardship conference and revival with my mentor, Steve Proctor. So it's been 2 years, and it's a testimony of the faithfulness of our people who committed 2 years ago to give for 1 year. They just kept on giving for this last year without a pledge card, without anything, because our commitment is with God, and that's why our missions has been holding its own. Now it's time for it to go forward, and it's always an exciting week, our missions conference. So please make your plans to be here Saturday night at 6 o'clock for that international dinner. Please sign up on the welcome table on your way out, what you're bringing, and we can check with each other there on the list and make sure not everybody's bringing tacos or whatever. And so sign up for that on your way out. Always a full house for that, and we'll have a little meet and greet with the missionaries that night before we are gone. Then Sunday school right here in this room, which is where we let the missionaries tell some of the personal things about themselves, and we get to know them better there. And then starting Sunday morning through Wednesday night, then them sharing their DVDs and their burden and taking their questions and sharing some challenges with us. That's the plan, and it's always exciting. Watch your email by tomorrow for all the details and a special webpage about this. The schedule, the menu, all the plans will be in this link, and we'll put some out Wednesday night as well. Put them in the bulletin next Sunday, too, for those of you who are not online. Right now, I need to call one of you forward. That's Jerry McKee. Would you come to the front, please? Dun, 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 dun. Happy birthday tomorrow to Jerry McKee. Here he is. We filled this bag up with rocks. No. With some gift cards to some of your favorite places, such as this place, Barnes and Noble, and things of that nature. And there's even a mug in there. What's this say? Assistant to the best pastor in the world. No, it says something else. You can hold on to that and these. And let's all sing together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Jerry. Happy birthday to you. All right. All kidding aside, it really could say best assistant in the world and be the truth. I appreciate you, brother. And the whole church came together on this, and so they're pretty good-sized gift cards in here, I must say, and you are worth it. And so God bless, and have a great day tomorrow, too. All right?